It's going to be okay. God is here, so. Just going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Father God, for an amazing worship service, Father God, for a great example to show, Lord God, that it doesn't matter who is up here, Father God. It matters that you are here, Father God, and I thank you for the humble servants that you allow me to lead every single week, Father God, and that they have hearts to lead these people here into your presence, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that your presence would just continue to be here, Lord, that it would just allow everybody's hearts to be sensitive to the message that you placed in my heart today, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So earlier this month, we got to hear from Alyssa, and she was able to she was willing to share with us her heart about life obstacles and her realization of God's faithfulness. The time and time again, he has come through. How could she not believe that he would do it again? And we could all relate to her message, right? She spoke of times of hurting. She spoke of times of doubt. She spoke of times of victory and praise. And she even went on to talk to us about the time frames in which they had to go through those seasons. And I believe it's safe to say that each and every one of us here are in different seasons in life right now. We're not in the same ones. Some of us may be in a season of struggle. Some of us may be in a season of waiting, and others may be in a season of victory and praise. No matter what season you're in today, I believe that God has something for you in this message. And I hope that it would even help you later when this season changes, react differently to that change in season. Today I'm going to talk about Habakkuk. And Habakkuk was a minor prophet about 600 years before Christ. And we know that prophets are people who speak to the people on behalf of God. And Habakkuk was different. He was a prophet, but he spoke to God on behalf of the people. And Habakkuk was from Judah, and Judah had been blessed under the leadership of Josiah. I bet Brenda doesn't even know what her son, the leader that is behind her son's name, but they had been blessed over the leadership of Josiah, and now the leadership has changed, and Habakkuk is beginning to see the corruption and the injustice and the perversion and the chaos that is going on, and he's just burdened. But as we go on, we're going to see how Habakkuk took his views horizontally of what was going on around him. And what's admirable is that he takes his views vertically, and he takes them to God. So if we turn to Habakkuk chapter 1, it says, the prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. Verse 2, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Don't we find ourselves like this sometimes? How long, Lord? How long must I wait? How long do I need to call? Are you even listening? Verse 3 and 4, it says, why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in righteous so that justice is perverted. He is burdened by injustice and the wrongdoing that's going on around him. And our world, it's full of corruption. It's full of injustice. It's full of perversion and chaos. And it's good for us to be burdened with that in the sense that we take that to God, that we pray for our country, that we pray for the people around us. But today, I'm not going to focus on what's going on in Judah. I want to focus on the fact that the issue is being burdened with something. We go to verse 5. The Lord answers, "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told." So he's like, Habakkuk, sit back, relax. I'm going to do something and it's going to amaze you. You wouldn't even believe it if somebody told you. Verse 6 through 8. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping to devour. He's rising up the Babylonians. I'm sure Habakkuk is like, God, they're a cruel and violent people. Are you confused? Did you not hear me? The Babylonians are bad guys. This is like God saying, I'm going to send ISIS to the U.S. to correct all the issues there. And Habakkuk is in a time of burden. And God pretty much tells him, it's going to get worse before it's going to get better, Habakkuk. And again, I'm not going to focus on the Babylonians, but on the fact that sometimes things feel like they can't get any worse, and then you find out that they're going to. We turn to verse 12 through 13. This is Habakkuk's second complaint. Lord, you are not from everlasting. Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? Habakkuk is complaining again. Not for God to do something, but now about how he's going to do it. This is us, right? This is so us. Habakkuk is wrestling. He is wrestling with what God is saying he is going to do. Why, God? Can't you do it differently? Why, God? Why are you taking so long? Are you even listening? He's wrestling. It sounds like us sometimes. How come that person got the promotion and not me, God? How come that person's prayer request was answered and not mine? They don't even come to Tuesday night prayer and you answered their prayer. We find ourselves wrestling with God. And you know what? Habakkuk means what that says right there. It means to wrestle or embrace. This wrestling is sometimes a point where people walk away from God, though. Things start to fall apart. They begin to seem hopeless. So people either think that God isn't real or he just simply doesn't care. And so they walk away. You know of somebody who's walked away? Let's turn to chapter 2 and learn what Habakkuk does. Chapter 2, verse 1. It says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am going to give to this complaint. The New Living Translation, it says, I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Now Habakkuk, he doesn't agree with God's plan. But he decides that he's going to climb up his watchtower and he's going to wait and see what the Lord says. He's going to wait. We like to complain. But how many times are we willing to wait to hear what God has to say about his plans, the reasons why he's trying to do it that way, how things are going to unfold? We don't like to wait. We want the answer now. We don't want to have to go through the pain. We don't want to have to live in the doubt. We want the answer. We don't want to wait. We go to verse 2. It says, then the Lord replied. Focus on that. Then the Lord replied. It was after he waited that the Lord replied, like, are you done? Are you done, Habakkuk? Are you ready for me to speak now? Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. I love that he says to write it down. And now, Pastor, I mean, he's not here, but now he has proof that we're supposed to write a thought down every time we're here. Because when we write it down, the devil cannot steal it. He can't destroy it. He can't destroy the words that he gave to you. He can't destroy the promises that God gives you when you write it down. And then it says so that a herald may run with it. So that a herald may run with it. So that I can come over here and I can say, you see this prayer request? We wrote it down and our God answered it. And we can shout it from the rooftops. We can shout it. God is faithful. He is good. We brought a prayer request to him and he answered it because he is faithful. So you write it down because the enemy, he's going to try and say, you know what? You didn't pray that. God didn't give you that word. No, you know what? He did. I wrote it down. It's right here, and you can throw it in the enemy's face. The devil can't steal that. We go to verse 3. It says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Though it linger, wait for it. Getting through some of your burdens sometimes seems slow. Why is this season taking so long? Though it linger, wait for it. Wait patiently. The breakthrough will take place and it will not be delayed. God is never late. He is always on time. We go to verse 4. It says, see, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. Habakkuk shows us what it means to be faithful to God. And you may say, how can that be? How is he faithful to God? He yelled at God. He yelled at him and he tried to tell him that he was doing it the wrong way. How is Habakkuk faithful? How was he faithful to God? You know, he was faithful because he didn't walk away. He embraced. There are plenty of psalms and there are plenty of stories in the Bible of people venting to God. There are people wrestling with God. That's not wrong. He wondered how long and why, but Habakkuk never walked away. He never let go. He embraced, like his name means. He embraced God. He wasn't denying God. He was saying, I don't know why you're doing this, Lord, but I'm going to embrace you. I don't know why you're doing it this way, but I'm going to embrace you. I don't know why it's taking this long. I'm going to embrace you. He goes from wrestling, why God, when God, aren't you listening, to embracing, I will wait, God. I will trust you. I will wait and I will trust you. He's burdened, but he doesn't walk away. Jonah walked away. In fact, he ran away, and we all know that he ended up in the belly of the whale. And while his story ends in victory, it could have probably ended in victory a lot sooner if he hadn't ran away. So we've gone from looking around, worrying in chapter 1 horizontally, to listening and looking up to God vertically in chapter 2. And now we get to go to chapter 3, and this is my favorite part, because it's the worship. It's the praise. Not because things are better, but looking ahead and believing God's word and his promises. Remember that before you get to chapter 3, you have to go through chapter 1 and chapter 2. You can't give up. You can't walk away. Chapter 3, I'm not going to read it all, but we're gonna go to verse 7. We're going to read 7 to 15. It says, I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your chariots to victory? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath, you strode through the earth, and in anger, you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear, you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us. Gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding, you trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. In these verses, he's remembering, like Alyssa spoke of, remembering the times that God had been faithful to her and her family. He's talking about when the sun stood still and when the rivers parted and all these things where God proved that he was faithful. And so he's remembering that. And it's when you remember those times that you're able to get through. Verse 16 says, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity. His heart is pounding. He's having palpitations because he knows that God spoke it. And if God spoke it, it's going to happen. So he realizes he's going to have to go through what gets worse before it gets better. He's nervous. His heart is beating about it. That is, his circumstance isn't going to change. He realizes it, and it's making him anxious. It's making him nervous. But this is where his faith is grown. It's when your circumstance isn't changing, but your faith and worship begin to increase. when you remember the promises, when you remember the good times when he came through. That's how you're able to allow your faith to be increased. He's standing on James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. He is remembering when God moved, and he's believing if he did it once, he'll do it again, and that it may not be pretty, and that it may not feel good, but he's going to grow his faith, he's going to grow his perseverance, and he's going to come out stronger. Habakkuk's faith did not come from what he saw. It came from him knowing the character of God. It came from knowing the character of God. So he was willing to accept whatever God was going to do, even if it was difficult for him. This is hard. But with God, anything is possible. When we know God's character, we can trust that he is working things out for our good. And even though we may be wrestling with him about something, we can embrace his faithfulness. I'm along for the ride, God. It's going to be tough, but I'm going to embrace you. I'm going to hang on to you because I know that you will get me through. When we trust his character, we can trust the character that says that he will not leave us or forsake us. We can trust his character that says he will not allow us to be shaken. We can trust the very character that sent his son to die for our sins so that we could have eternal life. He could have taken his son down. I know that, Joseph starts to get on Matt about something. I'm like, hey. Not so hard. But no, Jesus said, give it to him harder. Excuse me, God. Because the harder that he had to go through, the more freedom we have. So it's that character that we can trust in. And even if the answer to your request doesn't come, or if it doesn't come when you want it to, remember 2 Corinthians 12:9 that says that his grace is sufficient for you. If the answer never comes, his grace is sufficient for you. If it doesn't happen the way you wanted, you know what? His grace is still sufficient for you. Technically, all we need in this life is his grace. In closing, Habakkuk was talking about the corrupt nation around him. And I could talk about ours, and we'd literally be here all day, and I think we're actually doing pretty good time here. But I wanted you to see that Habakkuk was a burdened person. He was a burdened human just like you and me, the way that we can be sometimes. And we can complain and wrestle with God just like he did, as long as we don't walk away. And we continue to embrace him and stand firm on his faithfulness. When we realize that his grace is sufficient for us, then we can worship him no matter what we may be seeing around us. We can worship him no matter what we see him around us. That's how I get up It was a blessed morning this morning to be down there, but you figure if I've led almost 360 something worship services since this time last year, you think that every single Sunday was good for me? Ask these two right here. It's not. But we get up here and we worship through it. We worship anyways. Not because it's good right now, but because we know that it's going to get better. Brother Green always says that. When I was going through divorce, it's going to get better. Going through things with Matt, it's going to get better. And now he says probably the same thing about my husband. It's going to get better. But that's how you worship through it. We sang about it. Doesn't matter what I see. My hope will always be your promises to me. It doesn't matter what's going on. You choose to look up. Don't look horizontally. Look vertically. Take it vertically. Worship him. And that's how you're going to get through. Hebrews 17 and 18. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no fruit, no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. No matter what. No matter what. We can say, even though I've prayed for healing and it hasn't come, I trust and rejoice in the Lord. Even though my husband broke his vows or my wife broke her vows, I will trust in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord. Even though my parents are getting divorced, they're separated, I will trust and I will rejoice in the Lord. Even though I didn't get the promotion, I will trust and I will rejoice in the Lord. Even though my 5-year plan has changed, I will trust, I will rejoice in the Lord. Even though my finances are short and I don't know how we're going to pay the next bill, I will trust and rejoice in the Lord. There was a point in time in this church when Ernie turned to Pastor Elias and he said, "What's the first thing that we're going to cut?" And Elias said, "Just wait, I'll let you know when that time comes. We're not there yet." And here we are. Here we are. The Lord has sustained us, and we can rejoice and we can trust that he will do it again and he will do it again. And even though we come on a Sunday and there are less people in the church, he's going to fill it again. He's going to do it again. He's going to continue the work. We can look forward and we can have joy and we can rejoice knowing that he is good. And even though I am burdened, I will trust, I will rejoice in the Lord. Our God is faithful, he is sovereign. Our God is always on time, he's never late. I'm gonna give a word to quote Craig Groeschel. Says, if it's not God's time, you can't force it. When it's God's time, you can't stop it. Take courage, church. You guys can just go ahead and let that song play. Take courage. Oh, take courage. Just go ahead. Just listen to these words. Let them sink in. I can honestly say that I'm not in a season of being burdened right now, but God has shown me coworkers and friends and people who are truly burdened right now. And so this word was given. This word was given, and I believe that there are people, and you may be one of those that are burdened. That His words leads you on. Don't forget His great faithfulness. Oh, take courage, take courage. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. Hold on to your hope as your triumph. The stars. Oh, yes. Everybody with just your heads bowed there where you're at. Nobody looking up. If you're in a season of being burdened, if you're going through some sort of burden right now, I just want you to raise your hand. Just go ahead and raise your hand. Oh, yes, I see those hands. Oh, Lord God, Lord, we lift up these hands to you, Father God. They're lifting their hands in faith, Father God, and we're going to pray through this right now, Father God. We're going to pray through it, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that you would just, you call the stars, you know them by name, Father God. You know each and every one of them, Father God. So I pray, Lord, that you would help us to take courage in you today, Father God. That even though we're going through a burden, Father God, that we would keep our eyes on you, Father God. The people who are going through burdens and it's getting dark and it's seeming hopeless, Father God. I pray, Lord, that you would give them the courage, Father God. That you would give them the courage to continue seeking you, Father God. That you would show them, Lord, that you are growing their perseverance. That you are growing their faith, Father God. And that you are growing the relationship that you have with them, Father God. Let them see, Father God, that you are in the waiting. And although you may be silent, Father God, you are still there, Father God. And you may not be moving as fast as they'd like you to, Father God. You are still there. You will not let go of them, Father God. You have not let go of them. You have been there through it all, Father God, through every tear, through every burden, Father God. You have been there, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that you would begin to give them worship, Father God. Give them a spirit of worship, Lord God. Give them joy. Give them peace, Father God, that they would worship you, that they would find themselves laughing in joy in your presence, Father God, because they're not done with the burden yet, Father God, but they've just gotten started with the worship, Father God. They will worship you, Father God, through it all. They will worship you, Father God. God, and those, Lord God, that are not burdened right now and going through a season of victory, Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would put these burdened hearts on their heart, Father God, that they would pray for them, Father God, that they would help intercede for them, Father God, because there are plenty of people hurting, Lord, and you have placed us in a position to be the difference in this world, in the world around us, Lord God. So I pray, Lord, that this church would be a body of people who take courage, who believe in your faithfulness, and who do not believe on what we're seeing around us, but we believe in your promises and what you have called us to, and that you have said that we will touch the community, and this church, a burdened people, will be able to reach those that you have called us to reach, even in our burden, even in our worship, whatever it may be, Father God, we will worship you, we will rejoice, we will cry it out from the mountaintops, Father God, that you are faithful, even in our burdens, and you will get this church through, Father God, you will get this body through, even in our burdens. So help us to take courage, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.